you. I love that. I'll take that as my theme song. You think the Lord can do new wine out of me? Huh? No, I heard that. Satan, get behind me. I don't know. I have told the Lord just recently, I really want to finish well. And I don't know what that looks like, but I'm excited about what he's still doing with me anyway. I'm excited about what he's doing here in this church. Let me tell you, I've enjoyed these 5 weeks. These have been good for me. And my wife will attest to that, that I've got a little new spring in my step, that I'm preaching in one place for at least 5 weeks. Nobody usually lets me stay that long. But I notice I've done away with the staff here, so I guess 5 weeks and they leave. I'm going to preference this sermon with this preference. You need to hear this. I have not talked to Josh since early before I first came, so he's not prompting the sermon I'm going to preach today. And I'm really felt drawn as a pastor and a person who has worked with pastors to preach this sermon this morning to you. And I'm really asking you to listen. Don Reed and I, before he moved to Paris, became a Parisite again, had coffee a lot of times together at a McDonald's. Where the old guys meet. And one of the things that I think Don will agree with me that we talked about a lot was that we probably pastored during the best of times. This is a very difficult time to be a pastor. Our culture, at best, is anti-church, anti-Christian, and anti-faith. I would say that your pastor is going to be navigating waters that I couldn't even have imagined when I started in the ministry. And because of that, I believe more and more than ever before that it is important for the church and the body of Christ to support and come alongside their pastor. Amen. Let me give you a few disturbing statistics from Barner, who does research. A survey of pastors, this was back in 22, the percentage of pastors who have considered quitting the full-time ministry within the past year sits at 42%. This consisted of with data from the fall of 2021, when Barner first reported on the sharp increase in pastors with burnout. And it confirms the growing number of pastors who's considered resignation. Up 13% in 1 year. Over half the pastors who have considered quitting full-time ministry, 56%, said the immense stress of the job was a factor. Beyond these great stresses, were two out of five pastors said, I feel lonely and isolated. 38% said the current political divisions as a reason for considering stepping aside as a pastor. Now listen to this. Pastors who haven't thought about leaving said the immense stress of the job, 34%, the current political divisions, 32%, and feeling lonely and isolated, 18%, are factors that have negatively impacted their ability to lead at their churches within the past year. Listen, church, your pastor needs you to come alongside of him. Your staff needs you to come alongside of him, and you need to support him. Barner's not giving me anything that I'm not seeing when I work with pastors and work with churches. I see this across the spectrum. I talk to pastors all the time that are considering getting out of the ministry. I've known some have got out of the ministry. So today I'd like to share a text with you from the book of Exodus. It's Moses is in taking the children of Israel, and he's bringing them into the promised land. He's in the wilderness with them. And as we begin to read in chapter 17 of Exodus with verse 8. At Rephidim, Amalek came and fought against Israel. Moses said to Joshua, "Select some men from us and go fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will start on the hilltop with God's staff in my hand." Joshua did as Moses had told him and fought against Abimelech. While Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. While Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he put his hand down, Amalek prevailed. When Moses' hands grew weary, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down on it. Then Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until the sun went down. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. Let's pray. Father, you know my heart. I love the church. I love this church. I want them to know I pray for them. I've been praying for this church ever before I left, and certainly since I left here as pastor. This church has always been on my heart and on my mind. And I consider them my home. This last 5 weeks, I feel like I've been reunited with family, and it's felt good. But Lord, I'm concerned not only for Central, but the churches, all the churches, Lord, as we're struggling against a great battle that Satan is unleashed with a culture and a society that wants to do everything it can to destroy the witness of Christ. This church is a strong witness in this community. But Lord, it needs to be stronger. The battle is all around them. And they need to stand strong in the power and the Spirit of God to face the onslaught of Satan in this community. Lord, I pray that you would protect this church and you'd help her grow. It is in Christ we pray. And amen. My text today is during a critical moment in the history of Israel. After 430 years of captivity in Egypt, Moses is now leading them across the Red Sea into freedom. They had begun their journey towards the Promised Land, and soon they're going to meet opposition. As they journeyed, the Amalekites came against Israel unprovoked, seeking to destroy them before they reached God's intended destination. They were under attack. Yes? Sorry? Children's church. Children's church. Go, guys. All right, thank you. Some adults went too, so I don't know what that means. Just as Israel was under attack by the Amalekites to thwart what God had planned for them, the church is under attack today, and especially here in America. You see, Satan is seeking to destroy the church and our faith in Jesus Christ. It's a critical time in the history of the church in America. The Lord was not surprised by the attack of the Amalekites. He's not surprised about the attack on the church today. And even though Israel may have not have realized it, God had already prepared them for success, and I believe he's already prepared his church, his bride, for success as well. God had already equipped the men, put them in place for leadership. They were led by Moses, one chosen of God, to provide guidance and direction and leadership. His brother Aaron served as Moses' representative to men as the high priest before God. Joshua, the man who would eventually succeed Moses, serve alongside Moses as the captain of the guard or the military. We are familiar with these three men. We read about them in Scripture. However, we're introduced to a new man. In this text, there's someone that we don't recognize. Although he's not mentioned often in Scripture, Hur is a man who God used in a mighty way to give a great impact upon Israel. He served in the shadows, and yet his obedience was critical to the victory of Israel. Many of you are not familiar with Hur. But let me tell you, churches around the world are filled with those who possess the same abilities and possibilities or a faithful servant. In fact, I am certain there are many Urs in this room this morning. So let's get back and see what the faithful servant of God, did. Verse 10, let's look at it again. Joshua did as Moses had told him and fought against Amalek and Moses, while Moses, Aaron, and went up on top of the hill. Here we discover an important detail in regard to Ur's life. Although he wasn't chosen of God to be a leader and lead the people of children out of bondage, although he was not to serve as a high priest, he was not to serve as a captain of the guard, he's yet found his place. He is mentioned alongside those who were known and recognized by the people. His position was overshadowed by men who served out front, and yet was happy to be used of God in whatever capacity God wanted to use him. All through the Bible, I love studying through the Bible and looking at people who have their name mentioned one time, and then they're gone. But in that one time that they're mentioned, how often do we see they are used in a strategic, important place for God's purpose? Of all ages, of all colors, of all sizes, like Simeon that carried Jesus' cross. God has gifted each of us differently. But we all have work to do. We all can't serve in the same position. Everyone can't be the pastor. Everyone can't be the music director. Everyone can't be the chairman of deacons. Everyone can't be a Sunday school teacher. But all are not equipped to teach. All are not equipped to sing. Let me tell you that. You all know that. Not all are equipped to play instruments. But we all have various gifts and talents and abilities, and we all need to be found. They need to be found and be put in our place. What would have happened if were not willing to serve where God had placed him? It takes everybody being in their place of service, faithful to the work, to ensure the well-being and the prosperity of the church. May I encourage you to serve faithfully, whatever, wherever, whenever God chooses to use you. At times you may feel like, well, I'm not necessary, I'm unimportant, I'm old, or I'm whatever. But that is never the case. It takes all of us to be in our place for the church to operate effectively and be faithful to that position that you were given so that the church can be successful and win the victory. Let's go on and look at verse 11, what he did. While Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But whenever he put his hands down, Amalek prevailed. When Moses' hands grew heavy, they took a stone and put under him and sat on it. Then Aaron and supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that hands remained steady until the sun went down. Aaron and There's a lot to look at in these verses. Moses sat on a stone, raising his hands. Now I want you to consider the role that Irv played in this critical moment. He didn't possess the qualities of leadership. The other man had those. He wasn't in a place of authority. And many would assume Irv had little impact on the situation. Although Irv's work and position wasn't noticeable, he was willing to be used by the Lord. In fact, his contribution greatly impacted the outcome of the battle. He contributed what he could, and God honored his faithfulness. Had he not stood alongside Moses, holding up his hands, Israel would have suffered defeat. You hear me, church? If everyone in this church is not doing what God has called you to do, to serve, to give, to play a part, to support, the church cannot be victorious. Listen, folks, many people serve behind the scenes throughout the world, but their willingness to be used is effective around the world. Business leaders, CEOs, and spokesmen for big corporations, they're seen out front, but the business relies on those laboring behind the scenes. Consider a movie. Now, you may not have done this, but have you ever stayed in the movie after the close of the movie and they start running all the credits? Do you realize if all those people on the credits hadn't done what they were supposed to do, that movie would have never made it? You may feel you don't have much to offer, but you can make a tremendous difference in this ministry, in this place. You may serve as a greeter and just have that ability to welcome people. You may be that person who has that sympathetic ear and people can come to and you can encourage them that are people that are suffering. Your gift may be prayer, that it isn't shown much outwardly. People don't see it, but how important prayer is. Let me tell you, I know as a pastor, I know people who prayed for me all the time. Use whatever potential God has given you. You may be a person who's financially well off. The church and the pastor can't do what God has called them to do without your contributions. Adam and Ur held up Moses' hands. This was critical to the success of Joshua and those that were fighting the battle. I know it seems elementary, but Ur's participation was critical. Had he just stood there and done nothing and not been willing to hold up the hands, the battle would have been lost. The church needs those who recognize their giftedness and are willing to actively use those gifts for the Lord and his service in this place. If he had his gift with the ability to sing, then be in the choir. Join the choir. If you've been given the ability to teach, then start preparing lessons and teach a Sunday school class. If you've been gifted with the ability to share your faith, start witnessing. If you've been called to be a prayer warrior, lift up others in prayer. I certainly need to be lifted up in prayer. I shared with you last week. The service of Ur points a beautiful picture of one lifting up Moses' hands to God in prayer. Luke said, "For everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected." Latter part of that chapter, verse 12, Ur continued to serve until the task was completed. He did not abandon the work until victory was secured. He knew that he was serving in a critical role, and he was determined to be faithful until the task was completed. No doubt he got tired. Hold your arms up for a while, see if you don't get tired. No doubt he got tired. Can you imagine standing with your arms up all day while holding on to up another person's arms? Exhaustion must have set in, but Ur was determined to finish the task. He kept the faith. He knew failure was not an option. The survival of Israel was dependent upon his work. And so is the survival of this church, depending on your work. Many start out with great enthusiasm and fail to complete the assignment. I'm sure Earl wondered at times that day if the work would end in a victory. It wouldn't have been easy just to give up. But he was perseverance. Often we're tempted to abandon a particular work. You know, immediately results. We don't see the results immediately. So some of you have been here for years, and you just keep waiting for God to do something awesome in this place. Moses preached for 100 years, and only his family believed. Jeremiah preached and prophesied for 40 years, and as far as I can see, I don't have anyone coming to the Lord in his preaching. Many people abandon the task just before God sets the victory. When you or any of us would be, what would it be if Jesus had decided, you know, I don't think I'll go to the cross. Aren't you glad that he was persistent? Aren't you glad that someone was persistent in prayer for you? James says the prayer of the righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Philippians says, pursue as many good, the goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Verse 13 says that, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. Ur was in his place, realizing his service, being a part of God's work. He never gave up, and he rejoiced in the victory. Joshua and the army of Israel was victorious in the battle, and Ur played a tremendous role in what took place. He used his abilities that God had given him, and he was faithful in using them. Listen, I appreciate some of you folks here. I appreciate those who are willing to endure the difficulties long enough to experience victory. Struggles in life are prevalent, and they will remain as long as we live. And if you're looking for a reason to abandon the work that God has given you, I promise you Satan will give you that opportunity to find the reason. But I urge you, don't throw in the towel too soon. There is a work to be performed in this place. Yes, I know some of you have got to be tired, but it's time not to re-energize your energy and re-energize yourself and recognize that the battle's not over. Listen, folks, my goal at the end of this, whatever it is God's got for me, is to be able to say, I fought a good fight, I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Let me share my heart this morning. I truly believe, listen, that Central is on the verge of great things for the Lord. But the need is greater than it's ever been in this generation. We need those who are willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We need people who are standing, who will stand behind the pastor and hold him up during these days. We cannot abandon the work. There's too much to accomplish and too much at stake. I am asking you to renew your commitment to finish the task God has started for you in this place. Yes, there'll be some storms. And yes, there'll be some struggles along the way. But there's no place to give up or to quit. Jesus gave his best for us. Surely we can commit to using the gifts that he has given us for him. Scripture teaches us that every believer is gifted of the Lord. He provides these to equip for his service in his church. Central needs those like Ur, who are willing to serve faithfully even in the shadows. If necessary, even to accomplish this great work even though you never get recognized for it. Are you willing to make a renewed commitment to the Lord for his service? When you once active, maybe somebody here this morning, you were once active in this church and you were participating, but because of this issues or whatever, and you got discouraged, and doubts and discouragement, and you've abandoned your position. The Lord desires you to assume that your post today. Your new pastor needs your help. Will you stand with him and will you stand up and will you re-engage in the work of the Lord in this place? I'm calling you to do that, church. The need is great. There's a whole community around us that are lost and dying and going to hell. And this church is the light. And we need to continue to be a light, but we need to shine brighter and brighter and brighter than we've ever shined before. Now, I want to share with you, this is not original with me, but I've used it a number of times with churches that are getting ready to experience a new pastor. I want to give you some advice. I'm going to give you time to get you a notepad, write it down. Here's the advice. Number one, pray for your new pastor. I know you've been prayed for the search committee, and I know you have prayed for him as he came, but I suggest that you make a commitment to pray daily for your pastor throughout the duration of his ministry in this place. Once the honeymoon is over and the daily grind of ministry begins, he needs your prayers more than ever before. Okay? Pray for your pastor. Number two, send your pastor a welcome note or an email. Now, listen to me. Be careful not to make the correspondence a lengthy diatribe on what you think ought to happen. Just offer a brief note of encouragement, introducing yourself and your family, and offering him a heartfelt welcome. Okay? Number three, this is important. Listen to me. This really is. Mention your name on the first several encounters with your new pastor. I'm Dan Russell. Don't let him give him a chance to tell you know your name. Don't go up to him and say, hey, do you know my name? Give your pastor the opportunity to learn your name and learn your story. Okay? Number four. I think you're four. I don't have a number, but I think it's. Embrace and accept the uniqueness of your pastor. He is a distinct personality. He has a unique set of spiritual gifts. He has a diverse set of experiences. Don't try to compare him with your former pastors. Don't put that pressure on him. But allow him to be who he is. Embrace his uniqueness. Next, be prepared to follow. A pastor who's worth his salt must lead both in opportune times and in challenging times. And he's going to face challenging times. And the kingdom of God is enriched when a congregation is enabled to embrace the pastor and follow him and be enthusiastic about his mission, even in the challenging of times. Don't be a backseat driver. Serve with your best gifts. Next, I lost count. This is a big one too. Give your pastor permission to fail. The best pastors don't succeed 100% of the time. Every pastor will disappoint you in some way. Remember, he's just like you. He's imperfect. But if we forgive one another as God has forgiven us, we're going to get along fine. Don't hold your pastor to a standard of perfection that is impossible for him to reach. And then my last one, when you're out in the community, when you're with friends, when you're at your own dinner table at home, speak positively about your pastor publicly and privately. One of the ways we bring out the best in our pastor and our staff is speaking well of them publicly and privately. With most pastors, it's easy to find something to criticize because every minister has weakness. He preaches too long, preaches too loud, he's too preachy. Every pastor has more strengths than he has weaknesses, though. A healthy pastor tendered is nurtured when we magnify their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. Listen, your new pastor needs a church full of hers who are willing to serve and be faithful to the end. That starts with having a, listen, that has to start, though, with a personal relationship with the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior? You see, you cannot serve like her serve unless you have a relationship with the Lord that oversees all the things that will distract you. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says all we do is have to confess Him as Lord, and that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, and we will be saved. That's simple. The moment we're going to have a hymn of invitation, you can do that this morning. You can become a part of this church. You can become a young her that starts out in this church, and God uses you in a powerful place. Church, let me ask you this morning, Christian, is God calling you to be a her this morning for your pastor? Maybe this morning I would encourage you to come and just pray for your pastor. As we have the end of invitation in a moment, I want to ask you to do something. You know, I don't do a lot of these things, but hey, this is my last day. I can do whatever I want. As we have the invitation, I would love to see people just raise up their hand and hold their hand up and say, you know what? I'm going to be that faithful servant to support my pastor and support my church. Father God, You love the church. It's Your bride. Christ died for the church. And yet, Lord, we see it, the church so under attack and her pastors so bombarded with the arrows and the slings of Satan. Father, I call this church this morning. First, I call that person here this morning who's never trusted in Christ. This morning, they need to realize if they want to have a purpose and a reason to be strong and a reason to serve, then they need to know Christ personally as their Lord and Savior. I'm calling them this morning to call out to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I believe that You are God's Son. I believe You rose from the dead, and I call upon You to save me this morning. But I call upon this church, Father, also, those Christians in this place who have served so faithfully this morning to be counted as the hers, the men and women who support and hold up the arms of the pastor and the church to the glory of God. It is in Christ's name we pray, and amen. Shall we stand together?